call this second monthly meeting of the Port of Port Townsend for Monday, December the 22nd to order. We'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okey dokey. So the approval of the agenda will have to be approved as read because we can't make any additions because this is a special meeting. So I move that we approve the agenda as is.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And the consent agenda. Everyone's looked at the consent agenda, so do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Yep.
Everyone's looked at it?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Public comments not related to the agenda. Does anyone have something to say that's not written down in front of us? Yay, off we go. Second reading, action items none. First reading, discussion only. The lease request from Mr. Todd Fly.
Jim.
Each of the commissioners got a letter from Todd requesting a lease on the satellite shelter that is adjacent to Aaron Day's building, which is now Scow Bay Boat Building. A little history on that. That shelter's been there a long time. Al Preston had it there 20 years ago. It was bought by Freya. When Freya united, they brought the building from Pete Langley in and moved it next to it, and they had a whole footprint. Since that time, as you remember, we've split that lease. Scout Bay has taken the building, but really had no use for the shelter. So Aaron Day has one more year in that shelter, where it sits. He is paying a pretty reduced rate on it. He's paying $291 a month to have that space. Just to give you a framework, my cheapest rate in the yard, that would be $700. And if you charged it, what would a boat cost sitting there be? $25. So the issue that...
Let's go back on that again. The cheapest rate in the yard then is not a boat.
Miscellaneous storage is 25 cents per foot, per square foot. That's $750. Boat storage a little more than that. So the issue.
And so what's his rate then? It's not called miscellaneous storage.
It's $291 now because it was part of a larger lease when Freya had the entire section.
So that lease then, that square footage per rate per square foot then is not miscellaneous. It's not boat. It's what?
It's based on development. So it's based on if you were going to build a building, that's the rate, 10 cents a foot versus 25 cents a foot.
Okay.
So it's a policy question, number one, do we want to continue having satellite shelters be a standalone business in the yard? Do we want to rent that? We had talked 6 months ago about possibly portifying that satellite shelter and actually renting it as a covered shed. But Todd has an interest in it, and he's here to speak if you would like to hear from him.
Okay, yeah, I went back and I was trying to figure this out because I just heard from you last week that we have different rates, and I didn't know that before. And I went back and I listened to the entire discussion we had earlier where we discussed this breaking of that lease up into, and I remember hearing, and I think that I wasn't the only one that had confusion because there was other questions from the commissioners that asked it. And at that time, pretty clearly from the notes that I went over again this morning with my new knowledge, the issue seemed to not be race because we were talking about there's a potential for a boat to be there, but I didn't get that it was cheaper for a building. That was never brought up. I had no idea that was a fact. But then at the time, it seemed to me that it was a temporary building versus a permanent structure, and that some of the neighbors didn't like having temporary buildings because they didn't want to have it reminiscent of the funky boatyard. And at that time, we had talked about perhaps moving it, and now I understand in context of realizing that it's much less expensive or much cheaper rental per square foot rate, that it might be best if we want to maintain that rate. Larry had offered a suggestion of moving it someplace else in the yard where you can't access it by a travel lift, in which case that might be something that we could still explore. I didn't have all those pieces to put together until this morning when I was re-listening for minutes, but that's something that I guess we'll hear from what they have to say first, but that might be something we might want to consider.
Yeah, traditionally, if a business wants to build a permanent structure and grow a business, create more jobs, et cetera. You know, that's one rate. And then we have that miscellaneous storage and, you know, usually for temporary use or something. And then this is kind of unique in that if it's not moved, then it's taking up a boat space that we would otherwise put a boat on at another rate.
Yeah, I heard that discussion in the minutes, and I couldn't figure out, well, what difference does it make if it's got a building on it or it's got a boat on it, it's still occupied. And so that distinction of having one be less per square foot than the other was not made clear to me until this last week.
How about, what's the length of the lease that we're talking about?
Well, Aaron's still got to the end of 15.
Right.
His lease will expire. And that's why he continued that lower rate, because he had a long-term lease on it.
Right.
But I think it's October or November, I can't remember the exact, that lease goes away, and we need to figure out. But I think Todd is looking to buy it soon, because Aaron kind of wants to get out of this. So we just need some policy on, do we want to continue this, and if we do, what rate do we want to charge?
Mike?
Can I ask questions at this time?
Sure.
I'm just curious, I'm here because not only supported Todd, but you know, our own interest too, as our little business grows, you know, where we have some future interests of perhaps if we could lease some space. And I'm just wondering, and listening to what you were saying, that there seems to be varying rates for this and that, and I actually wasn't that aware of it either. Of course, I haven't paid attention for a long time. But so, and I'm not exactly sure to address this too specifically. So a business like Bottoms Up Marine, who I noticed has economy blocks and wooden and heat shrink structures, are they paying the same rate as if a boat was sitting there?
No, they're paying miscellaneous storage rate, which is 25 cents per foot,
okay.
Same as Dave Thompson's paying.
Right, and so is that the rate that Aaron Day is paying for that spot?
No, he's paying a lot less.
A lot less.
10 cents a foot.
Again, because it was part of a former bigger lease.
Yeah, that's what I
mean. What happened way back when, this was maybe 8 years ago, the three Freya partners came and said, we want to rent this space, and we're going to build a building in 3 years.
Okay, I got it.
And in 3 years, we had the economy go like this.
Yeah,
Freya
sure.
said, I can't
right.
do this.
Yeah.
So that's how that all transpired.
Okay.
Well, these other temporary structures, like the one that he's referring to, it's my understanding they're not paying 25 cents per square foot when it's not occupied by a boat.
Doug has got a rate for them, and I don't know exactly what that rate is, when it's just movable that he works with. And I'm sorry, I don't have that.
Yes, I thought it was something like 50 bucks a month or something like that when it's not... doesn't have an occupant inside the building.
So what you're saying is that they get to pay a reduced reserve rate? That doesn't seem, oh, never mind. Okay.
Is this on paper?
Is that available right now?
Yeah, I think that this is a really good discussion because it seems like there's a lot of rates that nobody's going to learn.
Well, but there's a lot of empty temporary structures out here and the owners aren't paying. They're just paying a nominal fee per month.
That's true.
And I don't remember exactly what it was, but I thought it was around 50 bucks if there's not a boat inside of it, if it's not being occupied.
But they're still taking up port space that...
But
when we've gone to the port and said we need a spot, we've been told there isn't any available. In fact, there is, but somebody has a reserve with a temporary structure on it for $50 a month, allegedly. Is that what you're saying?
No.
It's got to be movable.
It's got to be, yes. A temporary portable structure that's just a matter of pushing it around with a forklift or whatever.
If we need that piece of ground for some other project or other use.
So then those places that are built on econo blocks and 2x4s and 2x8s, that's not considered a movable, easily movable spot, so they're paying more than what you say might be 50 bucks a month or something. Is that right?
That's true.
Curious.
So, this is the first reading. Usually for leases, we don't need anything except one reading, except that I think that this is
a little more complex.
Yeah, a little more complicated, and this is the first time I've really been exposed to the varying rates we have out there, and I think I need to learn more about it. Like, you know, I just found out that we have the varying rates for boat versus non-boat, the storage, but now I thought we have some that are like placeholders for...
Well, the rate card that you approved has the miscellaneous storage rate on it, 25 cents a foot, and it has the boat storage space, that's our rate card. So the only one that is not clear is the lease negotiation rate. And that varies by site, it varies by size, it varies by a lot of things. But the other two rates are on the rate card.
And what's the rate that Brad was talking about then?
Well, that's what Doug uses. If you've got a shelter, you're not doing any work in it, it's not over a boat, and you just need to put it somewhere, put it here for 50 bucks a month, but you have to move it if I tell you to move it. And it's because we've got these big structures that what do you do with, and is somebody going to pay $700 a month to have it sit there empty? You know, it's things that over time we've allowed to develop. What is Randy Cherrier going to do with that building if it's not being worked on?
Probably technically we should be charged the miscellaneous rate, because that's what the miscellaneous rate was founded for. You know, whether you got a big load of lumber you just need to stack for a month somewhere, it's taking up space or whatever. You know, that's what you would pay.
Well, having some of these available temporary structures would likely go away then, because have them sit there for six months and pay that kind of money, you know, just do the math and they're, you know, that wouldn't work.
And that's why we think this is more of a policy thing. Maybe we should have a more miscellaneous storage rate, if you will, strictly for these movable temporary shelters when they're not physically in use.
But that's different from Todd's situation.
You're right.
So we should hear from Todd.
Yeah, Todd, I mean, do you want to stay in that one spot, or is this something that...
I'd like to stay there. I'm comfortable with it there, and I think it's a good spot to be. I wouldn't be opposed to moving it, but it would depend on where it went. I wouldn't want to be next to Joe competing with them with what I do or anything. And the travel that access is kind of nice to that. I mean, if I didn't have a travel that access to it, then it really doesn't serve me any purpose.
Yeah. And what about the rate? What's the proposed rate?
Well, we haven't even got that far.
Okay.
The first policy decision is, do we want to keep it? Aaron Day has given us first right of refusal. We've had that for a while, so if the port wants to buy it, that's the first right of refusal. I don't know if that's a business we want to get into, but that's where we are. So the first question is, do we want to keep it as a standalone business? And the second question is, what rate would you like me to charge?
And structure's been there in the same spot for 25 years?
At least 20.
Yeah.
Although Aaron raised it, it wasn't up on Eco. Now Preston had it, it was down the ground.
So yeah, this is the first reading, so thanks.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mike was raising his hand.
Oh, there he is. Yeah, Mike.
We're on back on the subject of Todd. There's just a couple of notations that I'd like to voice is that I can pull the numbers because actually I was getting ready to do W-9s here this next week. But we've probably, our business owner and I, we're partners now. We've paid out about $10,800, $11,000 to Todd this last year in subcontract work. And Todd has referred thousands of dollars of work to us. And I know we're not the only ones that rely on Todd and hire Todd. Todd worked for me from 98 to, I forgot, when I sold. And most of you know here about fiberglass work. It's dirty, it's itchy, it's nasty. And I have always boasted about Todd's cleanliness and responsible fashion style that he has. He's definitely type A, which is totally rare in composite work. I'd also like to boast on Todd's behalf. I don't know anybody, and I've got 4 years in the industry, that can color match gel coat as good as Todd can and get things done in a timely fashion and work clean. You'll never see a mess left anywhere by Todd. No one can ever say that he's left a mess or does work in a dirty environment. So, from the aspect of from our position of having someone that's par excellence in his trade, Todd's good, he's reliable, and I know the court will have no problem with it as a tenant.
Thank you.
Can, I'll just add to that, that Todd's worked on both of our boats, and he's done a great job. If I was gonna choose anybody to use in the yard, I'd use Todd.
So he's likely to keep that building full of boats then, right?
I would think so.
So, do we need to come to an agreement, a decision today?
You don't have to, it's...
What do we have as our options? We have the option of leaving it as it is, which is really low, and would probably kinda set a precedent. We have the option of creating a new rate for portable shelters, or we have an option of charging miscellaneous storage rate, is that what we have?
Or taking it over, 'cause if it was, if we took it over, you know, we'd stand to make probably a better return on it than what we're going to if we just lease it out. I don't know.
Well, I wouldn't know about that. But that would deprive Todd of...
Right, I know, I'm not saying, yeah.
Or we could lease it, or we could buy it and lease it to Todd. There's a value in the building.
Right.
So that's a third option.
Right.
And then you pay the boat storage rate if you had a project boat in there, or... The boat owner would be paying that, let's see.
So I'm still confused. So Todd, so Aaron owns the building now. His lease is up at the end of this year, 2015, with us. So what if we didn't renegotiate the lease with Aaron? What would he do with the building then?
He talked about disassembling it, moving it offsite. He's talked about if we wanted to buy it.
So how does it work with Todd if Todd's getting a long-term lease? If, what if Aaron doesn't wanna renegotiate? How does it work?
Aaron's gonna sell it to Todd.
Yeah, Aaron would sell it.
Oh, I gotcha. Sorry, I'm a little slow.
Imagine Todd, you probably wouldn't wanna buy it if you didn't have some assurance that you're gonna get a long-term lease, right?
Yeah, it depends on what the lease rate would be on a long-term lease. Jim talked to me last week about it might have to move if the order changes. That's a factor for me. It has to, it also needs a new cover on it, which is roughly about $10,000. So for me to buy it, put a new cover on it, and depending upon the lease amount, these are factors I have to work in to make my business keep going and be profitable.
Do you, Todd, do you foresee bringing anybody on part-time, or are you staying one man?
If I work with Kalmakoff, you know, I'll try to find other contractors to take a part of the responsibility. Currently I'm avoiding employees, but if I have to, I will if I get projects and big enough to do that. I don't currently have a place to do big projects, so those are jobs I don't get. I don't go after because I just don't have the space that I can be clean and out of the weather. That's kind of what I'm...
Like take a doghouse apart and reassemble it. Like take a doghouse off a deck and...
Yeah, it's hard to do those things outside.
In fact, the Brigadoon comes here every year for us to do work on from Canada, and they're good for about, and I'm not exaggerating or embellishing, anywhere from 20 to 50,000 a year. They love their boat. They love space, and that building this boat would house in it. And Todd, of course, would be the key man on doing the decks. Then the following year, they want a new all grip, a new either gel for restoration or spray paint job on the entire boat. And they want us to ramrod that portion of the job too. And so, you know, there's a lot of potential for Todd for that size building, considering there isn't anything available here. And in turn, it would help other businesses as well. It's not only Todd and us, it's Blackbird Marine and a couple of the other guys. We kind of, you know, work together and kind of this amalgamation of independent businesses.
Okay, so it seems to me like we're not having to reinvent the wheel. What we have is a really low rate based on some promises that were made to go ahead and build a permanent structure that then didn't happen because of the downturn. But we do have precedents out there of people like Dave Thomas and all those guys that have got the running space to put a boat business on, and that space is what, 25 cents a square foot, which is the same as miscellaneous.
Miscellaneous, right. Yeah.
That's an established rate. Yeah, you know, we've been reminded by several citizens recently that, you know, when it comes to leasing, we need to be at market rate with, you know, CPI clauses and that sort of thing, which we have in our, all of our leases, and this lease would have the same thing. But we need to be comfortable that we're charging what the land is worth.
Right.
So.
The 25 cents a square foot, Todd, then that would give you control over the boats you have in there, as opposed to the kind of arrangements like Joe has with the temporary structures where he's only paying a monthly fee. His customers are paying the port directly, and if there's an issue between the customer and Joe, Joe doesn't have any control over that boat being launched, whereas if you were paying the 25 cents, you would have control over that site in the event that
somebody didn't want to pay.
Whatever the case may be, is that something that would, do you think would benefit you?
Yeah, I think it would, definitely.
And then if there's additional projects and you need an extra boat space next to it or something, that would be the standard landing rate.
Mm-hmm. What's the square footage on that?
It was $749 is what it worked out.
To at which rate? The
25 cents.
But again, those, you know, this is the first reading, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what do you think about that rate? Seems like that's the rate that the marine trades are paying for, like, I mean, I assume there's other people out there, like, you know, that are doing that same rate.
Yeah, that would be something I'd have to think about. It seemed, well, it's kind of high for me. With the purchase of the building and doing a new skin.
But wouldn't the boat owner pay for that? Seems like the boat owner that's in there is going to pay $850 if you're outside. Mm-hmm. If he paid you $750 to be inside, that's a good deal. You just have to keep it full all the time.
It's added incentive to keep it full, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Their new rates, the new rate structure, I don't know if you've calculated what a 40-foot boat costs now, but it's going to be a lot of money at 63 cents a foot.
Okay. I have some things to think about and some numbers to put together. It does, yeah.
That's the same, 756 a month.
I mean, I think the best option is for the port to buy it and lease it to him at a good rate, that we can get a return on our investment and support a marine trade.
So that means we would reskin it?
Yeah, but I think we can pick that thing up pretty cheap. We don't as a capital asset, but lease it to him on a 5-year lease or whatever he wants, like any other structure we would do. It just seems like he wouldn't have to put out the $30,000 on the structure.
But the actual space, you know, that the boat is occupying underneath the shelter, would they, that boat owner, pay us directly, or?
No. But we'd probably charge $1,000 a month for the shelter. Anyway.
So what we need to do probably is put together
a
situation that would have that and see if Todd likes it, and then see if, you know, if we could do that.
I'll put together three scenarios.
What do you guys think of that?
Yeah, there's definitely some things to think about there.
Okay.
Okay, item B, the 2015 commission meeting dates.
Well, we're experiencing the issue right now. You know, every year we move several of our regular meetings because we don't want to do it on Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, because it seems like it all falls on those Wednesdays. One of the things I picked up at the WPPA conference, a number of ports, because they're all facing the same issue, in January we have to readopt our meeting schedule for the new year, for 2015. So what Sue did, she went through the calendar. Here are the dates that look like we'll probably have to reschedule. But, and Carolyn's already said this is okay too, that if we adopt these changed dates as part of our resolution in January, then you don't have to change them again. And they're not, that way they become regular meetings, not special meetings. Etc. So this is just the first reading. There will be a resolution next month for you to review and approve. And also part of that is the agenda. You know, we've had some talk about well, we had the great session there with Schmelick over in Bellevue, on the open meetings where he talked about agendas and the formatting of the agenda. You know, we have to adopt what our agenda looks like as well. So anyway, just the first reading today.
That was very good.
It was a good 15 minutes.
That was it.
Frank's a good speaker.
He had a shirt in our boots.
There's a lot of commissioners scared after that today. So that's really all there is on that one.
Okay, I was looking through that, and I really didn't see much of a reason to reschedule the December 23rd one, because the 24th would be the day after the meeting, which would be on the 23rd, and the 24th is Christmas Eve.
Can I give you a reason?
Yeah.
Just getting the audio minutes up on the website and everything, depending on how long the meeting lasts, I might not be able to get them up then until 5 or 6 days later.
Which is okay. Usually it's just that we try to get them up quickly.
I mean, it doesn't make any difference. I was just trying to figure out what was the reason, and that was the reason, apparently. Yeah,
yeah, and those are just recommendations, of course. So.
That's a pretty good reason.
Yeah, that's not a bad reason. Yeah, that's a good thing. Okay. Alrighty then. Let's see. Potential immediate action items. These are the leases for Pygmy Boats number one.
So, as it said, Pygmy Boats, it's hard to believe, has been a tenant for almost 20 years at Point Hudson. Their time is up to renew, and they would like to continue for another 10 years. They'd like the structure of the 5-year lease with a 5-year option. They've been excellent tenants. So
the only thing I have, I've read through the lease, and of course, every time I do that, it makes my eyes go inward. But all the words that are in there. But I guess that my only concern was, and I don't think it's probably really a concern, and that's what the Port of Port Angeles got whacked for a while ago. I want to make certain that whatever it was that they didn't do, we're doing, which I, if I'm not mistaken, was not allowing things to lapse and then not renew them and have CPI. So this takes care of all those deficiencies that potentially. Okay.
Yeah, what they were allowing were leases to expire. They allowed them to stay on a month-to-month basis. But once you don't have that lease, you've lost your annual cost of living increases, your market rate adjustment language, et cetera. And I guess they had some examples where they had tenants multiple years, just on a month-to-month. So.
But we do have a holdover provision in all of our leases that Carolyn helped us negotiate. So we're not illegal because we have that holdover provision. Port of PA did not have a holdover provision. That lease was terminated. So our lawyers protected us from that kind of action.
Thank you. Okay, so I guess we need a motion to approve that lease.
I make a motion. We approve the Pygmy lease as is.
Second that. All in favor? Aye. Aye. Okay. And the Commander's Beach House, that's the same?
Same exact thing. So one of the things I did put in the Commander's Beach House is we have an agreement, and they've agreed to it, that if they sell, this lease will be null and void. But we put a provision in here to renegotiate with the new owner. And basically, our lawyers have told us for a lot of years, you don't want to give somebody a 10-year lease and have them sell it next year and use the value of that lease to up the value of their sale. So Jim and Gail understand that, and they said, as long as we operate it, we'd like this lease enforced, but we want the port to promise that if we want to sell it, we will renegotiate a lease with the future tenants.
So just to clarify, because I'm a tenant holder myself, or more of us are. The reason for that is that if I can sell my business with that lease and make some profit on that lease, the taxpayers are losing out in that.
Yeah. Okay. So your business absolutely has a value.
Right.
But that long-term lease has a value too, and you shouldn't be making money on that long-term value.
Right.
And over the years, we've had a number of tenants who you knew were getting kind of close to retirement or whatever, and suddenly come to the Port Commission wanting a 25-year lease, which if they were to stay in business, well, it's 25 years, it'd be 120-some years old. You know, so you knew what they're doing. It was just so they could turn around and sell it and make a profit off the taxpayers' holdings. So. In this case, that building, it's about all it's really good for is a B&B or something similar. It's not going to move a marine trade or something in there, so.
Is there a different precedence with a ground lease, like where you have PT sales, so those guys decide they want, you know, so they ask for a 25-year lease because they want to sell. Now they're selling a pretty big asset there with that building. Is there, can we do, do we do that for them
we
as well?
We can't, because the bank's going to require a 25 to 30-year lease to give them financing to build that building.
Right.
And so you can't pull that rug out from under them if the bank is bound to that. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't happen in capital improvements like that as much as it does in buildings that the port owns.
Right.
Okay. So I move that we approve the lease for the Commander's Beach House.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Lease grab all ship supply. Now that's got a little bit of a twist to it because it's sold, right?
Yeah, well, it's in the process. I want to bring to your attention there is a typo on this lease. It should be in the term, it should be December 31st, 2024, not 34. We've got an extra 10 years and we should have given them. Yeah, this is a little different. David Carruthers has found someone to buy Admiral Ship Supply. And Robert Frank was one of the employees of Admiral Ship Supply, and good guy. He also is going through financing. That's why we're doing a little longer term lease for this. Kitsap Bank is requiring a longer term lease. He's got a good vision for the building, and I think he'll do well.
You say a good vision? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You mean like changes? I mean, what's his vision for the building?
His vision is more product. He thinks David hasn't had enough product in there, so he's planning to spend a lot of money and bring the product.
I've met him a few times. Sounds like he's got some really good energy and he's got his young family here.
Yeah. So now I got a question. If I was Jim at Commander's Beach House, Jim and Gail, and I wanted that long-term lease or a 10-year lease like these guys, why wouldn't I go to Kitsap Bank and put some debt on my...
We actually talked about that, and he doesn't want debt.
Right.
He just doesn't want to do it. We actually talked about that whole scenario.
Because then, just to keep apples for apples, if these guys did put debt on their house, they could ask for a longer-term lease, just like the Admiral Ship Supply people are.
But he'd have to do something to the house in order for the bank to give him money. What would he do to it? Where Admiral Ship Supply is actually buying a business, so and they're doing more product. So, but you're right. If Jim could come up with the improvements that would require enough money to get a loan.
So then how does that work with Admiral if these guys decide they want to sell in 3 years? And the new buyers just want to assume the note?
They're going to have to be able to do that.
And then do they have to renegotiate the lease as well?
No. The bank will do an underlying assumption clause. If Robert should default, the bank will take it over.
Mm-hmm.
The bank is bound by the terms that they have to find another marine trade to go in there. But the bank will own the underlying lease.
So for Jim and Gail, who want to sell the Commander's Beach House, there is a way they could get a lease that they could actually sell with the asset if they took on debt and did some improvements to the house.
If they want to build another building next door or something.
Yeah. Interesting.
Okay. We had a long talk. I actually met the commander. I never meet the commander.
I know.
She was there.
Yeah, I heard that.
I even had to hug with the commander.
I heard that too. I make a motion to approve the Admiral lease of this.
With that
24. With the typo for extra.
Yeah, with 24, 24. Yes. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Who seconded it?
I did. Under my breath. So you couldn't hear me. Okay. Staff comments.
Seth? Well, if we go back to we've seen sometimes when people take these portable structures, and I haven't seen the structure, and have ambitious plans that maybe don't pan out, you could be stuck with the demolition cost of, you know,
permit permit to demolish affordable structures, so that might be a concern if the board taking the title versus the tenant making a deal and then being out a lot of money to improve affordable structure if that does or doesn't happen. So I would put that into the thought process. Aside from rent security, maybe some sort of bond to get rid of that if need be at some point.
It'd be a pretty easy structure to get rid of if we had to. It's,
okay, great.
It's a
big tent.
Yeah, it's a metal frame with fabric.
Yeah, we see this with mobile homes. So, yeah.
You know, it'd be the second one of its kind on Landis if that went away, because he'd move it to his house and it'd be right next to mine.
But it's something we should consider.
Yeah.
Amy?
I don't have anything.
Sue?
I have nothing.
You don't have anything here?
Public comments. Vigo.
I may have missed something, but I thought a couple weeks ago we talked about the lease for Coast Seafoods. And now there's been no discussion for 2 weeks. I'm just curious what happened, that perhaps the next meeting will be.
We, post your own survey.
Yeah, didn't we? Yeah, go ahead.
No, we're still waiting on a survey. So the surveyors are hoping to come out next week. Our ground hasn't been surveyed yet, so we have no footprint to actually approve.
Yeah, Clark survey of Squim.
Any other public comments? Okay. Commissioner comments.
Great annual meeting.
Yes, it was a great annual meeting. I had a couple of comments. We had one of the things that Larry and I learned about in the CLA, the continuing legal education, was an insurance inventory. I'm not sure if you had a chance to do that.
Not yet.
Mm-hmm. It was
talk to you about that.
Yeah, I went to this thing trying to get some insight on our insurance issues in the yard, and we discovered that there's some insurance policies that all ports have that were issued blank by the Lloyd's that were insurance companies in London that all came when you became a port, and then there's a bunch of supplemental ones. And we had a little bit of a passing mention about third-party insurance, and that's where I was going to try to make sure that perhaps for the agenda on our meeting next year, we could have an idea of what our insurance inventory is, and if there's any holes in it. And also we could maybe resurrect the, in that same light, the work that Brad and the Marine Trains have been doing on whatever insurance you're working with them on, the insuring the Marine Trades, or having the Marine Trades do insurance for the third party problems. And I think it'd be useful to perhaps get some insight from other people in the port. You know, like we heard from all the Marine Trades, we heard from us that always come here every other week, but we haven't heard from like Doug or Larry or Al or anybody like that that's on the ground. So it might be useful to, that maybe it'd be just kind of jog my mind the thought that we kind of let that go away and we need to bring it up again. And also we had a lot of senators and stuff there at that meeting, and they were all just fascinating on the stuff that's going on in the legislature. But we had a Senator Bob Hasegawa from Seattle come to our energy lunch, and he talked about an investment bank that he's trying to push for the state of Washington. And the reason that I bring this up is because after the meeting that we went to, they have this legislative reports, and of course the WPPA is very active in lobbying the legislature for various things that are will help the ports and so forth. And they're, you know, they pay people to do it, and they're pretty effective. And it seems like this issue kind of slipped under the radar of the WPPA because essentially state bank is, there's one in North Dakota, there's only one in the States, and it's in North Dakota. And it's extremely successful. It's just a poster child for how to keep the money local instead of send it off to a big bank in New York. And the reason that I bring this up in the context of ports is because when they had all of the boom in North Dakota of oil, they were able to, by utilizing their state banking structure, be able to fund all the infrastructure for building roads and so forth like that. It just was money that they had on hand that they could loan themselves. And it was a huge success story. And this poor guy, Bob Hasekawa, has been fighting against people that just haven't been listening to him in the legislature for quite a while. And he suggested that it would be a really useful thing to fund infrastructure for things like ports. And so I thought that would be a useful thing that perhaps we could bring up to the people at the WPPA. And we could do a little bit of research on it, because he's authored a couple of bills that have yet to make it out. Anyway, those are a couple of things I learned about.
And with the insurance inventory, there's been a number of ports usually associated with cleanup, you know, where there's been an old oil refinery operation on now port property, or a log dump going back in time, you know, Lloyd's of London insurance policy that, and I don't know the legal how it's tied in, but somehow you can go back and use that to collect and make somebody else pay, you know, for the cleanup, that sort of thing. So I doubt if we've got much of anything like that, because we never got into, you know, this port has been pretty much what it is forever.
Right.
You know, we never got into those
kind of super fun sites lurking about.
Yeah. So that's anyway.
Used to, until we're kai tai.
Okay, so that's all the comments. So the next meeting will be a public workshop Wednesday, January the 14th. Next year, so there's no executive session, so this meeting's adjourned.